Today's message is called Darkness and Light Don't Mix. Darkness and Light Don't Mix. Last week we were talking about, you know, the need for us when we're presenting truth to not start with man, but to start with whom? Start with God. And if we don't start with God, but start with man instead, we're going to run into problems, theological ones. We're not going to get to where we need to get to. And then when we start with God and His holiness. Now, God is a lot of other things, to be true, all wonderful attributes, but God's holiness is something that lots of times in our humanity, in our sinful humanity, we really don't want to dwell upon that, do we? We kind of want to think about God's love, and surely God is just going to forgive all of us and bring us all to heaven, and, you know, he pities how often we fail and so on, and he's just kind of like a, you know, a kind old man up there who's just kind of forgotten most of everything we said or did and just going to say, come on up and let me show you around. And no, that's not it. Our omnipotent God is completely holy, isn't he? And in verse 5 of John 1, we saw that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we don't start with that, we don't get to where we need to go theologically, spiritually either. How are sinners like us going to get to an absolute holy God? How can that great gap be bridged? But if we don't realize that, we think, oh, well, God loves us, so, you know, everything's going to work out. Well, God does love us. But there is something that has to be dealt with. What is it that separates the holy God from mankind? Sin. It's a very short word, but it's a very important word. We must get the concept of sin correct, and we must deal with it. We must acknowledge it. Otherwise, we run into a problem. And this morning, with some illustrations, howbeit not the greatest, but hopefully we can visualize what John is trying to say. Because lots of time, John, in his gospel as well as his letters, is trying to use word pictures, illustrations. He doesn't use as many theological terms as maybe Paul does in his epistles. But they're saying the same things in just different ways. And so John is trying to illustrate some of these theological truths by using light and darkness and talking about walking in one or walking in the other. And so shall we look at our text this morning, 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7, though we may not get all the way through verse 7 today, we'll see. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, being God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Please be praying for me. You know, the devil does not want this message to be crystal clear in anybody's mind. And he will hinder me, he will hinder you, and we just need to ask the Lord. Father, we want to present the glorious truth of your word accurately and with the authority that it deserves, Father, because this is eternal truth. It's life-transforming truth. Lord, we pray that you would guard this property, guard this sanctuary, guard our own hearts and minds from distractions, from misunderstanding, misinterpretations. Help me to think of everything I should say and how to say it, and those things that don't need to be said at this time, Lord, be left out. I pray that we'll be a accurate, understandable, memorable explanation of these very, very important doctrines. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two kingdoms being talked about, basically, here in this chapter and in these two verses in particular. One illustrated by this visual aid over here. This is a kingdom of light. That's the yellow banners. And this is the kingdom of darkness, okay? I wish I could make it bigger and better, but hopefully we can see visually a little bit of an idea what John is trying to convey. The kingdom or the realm of darkness is speaking about Satan's realm, Satan's world. One of not so much the physical aspect of darkness, but the spiritual aspect, okay? This is primarily what we're talking about, spiritual kingdoms, okay? One that is dark, one that's ruled over by Satan. Over here, one that is light, is ruled over by God in his holiness, okay? When we are born, biblically speaking, when we are born into this world, no matter how cute and sweet we might look there in the hospital, we are born in this kingdom. We are born into the realm of darkness, okay? That's what the Bible teaches. Is that what human religion wants to teach? No, human religion wants to say that we're born basically good. And if we're not continuing to be basically good, it's because of something else, right? Some environment, some society, our parents. It's not our fault. It's not a problem that comes from within us. No, something has acted upon us and made us less than good. And there's a few people that are just so awful they can't go to heaven. But everybody else can because they're basically good. That's what the world teaches, false religion teaches. But that is not what the Bible teaches, okay? We have to understand that. Sin has separated us from the realm of God, from the realm of light. And something has got to be done about that, or that will never change. This world over here, this realm of darkness, is in defiance of God, is in rebellion against God at one level or another, right? Some are blatant, you know, they're occultists and Satanists and so on, blatantly defying the God of light and the God of truth. But others might just be atheists. They're just saying, oh, there is no God. You know, I'm not trying to be mean about it, but there is no God. That's just a fairy tale. That was just something we, in our early stages of evolution, we told ourselves to get by. But now that we're enlightened, we realize how silly that was. Right? Or there are people in this realm who are totally, they're churchgoers. They say they believe there is a God. But yet they're still in this realm because they've never done anything to deal with the sin that is in their life. We are born sinners. We don't become sinners by doing certain types of sins or doing too many of any kind of sin, or when we've done more bad than good, then we become a sinner. No, we're born sinners from the very first moments of our existence, right? We're born into this realm and we'll live and die in this realm if we don't respond to the message of light from the scriptures that Jesus came and lived out and told while he was here, and his apostles and prophets and ambassadors like you and I are trying to tell the world. If we don't listen to that, respond to that, we'll stay here and we'll die in our sins and we'll go to the place that wasn't prepared for sinners. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if we stay in his kingdom, we will join him there. The great news is that doesn't have to be that way, does it? You remember the prodigal son, that story in Luke 15? You remember how he left his father and his home and all of, and he took that inheritance and he went into a faraway place and he just wasted all that money on riotous living, whatever that might have been. And he ended up, ultimately, he ended up living where? In his worst situation. Yeah. He was actually jealous of the pigs that he slopped for the owner of the farm, because they had a whole lot more to eat than he had. Now, if he would have just stayed at the farm and said, you know what, I know there's a better place than this. I know that my father would treat me a whole lot better if I still lived where he is. But if all he did was know that, but didn't do anything about knowing it, what would happen to him? He would still be in the pig pen. But because he came to acknowledge his situation and to admit that there was an alternative that he could pursue, he took himself out of that and went to beg for mercy from his father and to confess his sin to his father, right? These are all steps that you and I can take as sinners born in Satan's realm when we realize, wait a minute, if I don't do something about my situation, where am I going to end up? I think I'm going to respond. I'm going to call out to God and confess that I am a sinner and ask him to forgive me and receive the gift of eternal life from his son, right? Let's look at a few passages, shall we? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This might seem elementary, but I'm sharing with you, much of the world is confused about this and being misled about this. And we must not let that happen to us, and then we must accurately and truthfully convey the true message of the gospel to them. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Wait a minute, there are lost people? Yes. Where are those lost people? Right here, in the kingdom of darkness, in the realm of darkness. While they stay there, they're lost. Right? And if you and I, who are no longer lost, don't share the gospel with them, they'll retain their lost state. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world, notice it's small g, the God of this world, which is the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, God's trying to shine his truth and his love over to the realm of darkness, But the master of this realm is trying to make sure, don't look over there. Don't even be curious about that. Don't read that book, the Bible. Don't listen to that missionary. Don't take that gospel tract. Don't go to that church meeting. He's trying to keep them in the dark, isn't he? Keep them distracted. He'll even let them do some things that make them feel spiritual, feel religious, feel moral, as long as they don't accept the truth of the gospel and invite Jesus Christ into their heart. As long as they don't do that, the devil is fine. You can be just as lost and in the dark attending certain churches, even this one, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't do something personal with your sin account, you can be just as lost as if you never came into the church in your entire life. Let's turn to Ephesians 2, just a couple books to the right there. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see, did I even finish reading that? I didn't. Let me finish reading that. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, God's not trying to keep his truth hid, is he? He's trying to make everybody aware of it. That's how light works. You know, it's being sent, it's being shined, and we carry it a portion around in our hearts and lives. Right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Where did we get that little light from? We weren't born with it. No, we got it from our relationship with Jesus Christ, right? And so people who might not come in and hear the gospel message in a church might see it in your and my life when we go to school with them, when we go to work with them, when we live next door to them, if we'll let our light shine. Unfortunately, lots of times we're so preoccupied with ourselves that we don't do that. Now, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, we used to be children of disobedience, and therefore children of wrath, because a holy God is going to bring what on disobedience? Judgment. Consequences, right? All of us used to be there. If we're no longer there, we've been rescued by the grace of God. But let us never forget that we used to be there. And notice it says the prince of the power of the air. There is a spiritual authority, the devil, controlling that realm here on earth. One day, he is going to be bound, right? And all dark spiritual forces are going to be bound, and sin is going to be no more. And God in Christ will reign. But that day is not yet. And so let's not just be clueless and gullible to think this whole wonderful world is perfectly fine. And I can play around in it and do what I want with it and all's going to turn out well. That is to not understand the Scripture. We were born in a realm of darkness. We were children of disobedience with the doom of children of wrath being our future apart from the intervention
grace of God. How about chapter 6 of the same book here, Ephesians 6. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Okay? That's our real enemy. While we stand over here, we don't even realize that those things are controlling us. Controlling our values, controlling our attitude, controlling our conduct. And we're deluded into thinking that we are doing the things that we want to do all the time, and they're all good, and when we're dead and gone, we'll be going to heaven. We're just totally deluded. That is not biblically true. It says here that we're needing to put on armor. You put on armor because you have an enemy. Exactly. Who is our enemy? He's not our enemy when we stay here. He's our friend. He's our pal. He'll you know. But if we transition here, then, good old pal the devil, is he still going to help us out if we get in a jam? No. He is our sworn enemy, and we will need the armor of God to conduct life until we, you know, while we remain on the earth. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, our main problem is not with other people. Okay? Our real spiritual wrestling is with spiritual enemies, spiritual authorities, wickedness in high places. That doesn't mean up on a mountain. That means in the spirit ranking, okay? The devil and demons underneath him that are assigned to various jurisdictions to hinder the work of God and bring dishonor to God. That these are our enemies, and we need to realize that we need God's protection to deal with them, and that we are going to be in a wrestling match with them till the day we die. We also aren't just wrestling with external enemies, but this sin is still in us, isn't it? Have you noticed since you got saved that you were still capable of sinning? You notice that, huh? Yes. In fact, that's still our tendency to gravitate in that direction because of our old nature. The old nature starts out being super strong, and it fights for supremacy. And if we don't recognize that not only were we born sinners, but we're born with a sin nature and we retain that sin nature even as Christians, then we're just going to be silly about how unprepared we are on a daily basis to deal with what that sin nature within us might cause us to do, and with the spiritual forces coming against us from without may cause us to do, right? We're just like, duh, I'm going to wing it today and hope it all turns out great. We don't have to wing it. We can come to the Lord in prayer. We can come to the Lord and put on the armor of light. We can recognize who we are and who we were, but also recognize who we are now in Christ and what we're becoming as we yield our life to Him, right? 1 John chapter 2, please. Let's look at another reminder. 1 John 2. You know, the world does not like to talk about holiness. The world doesn't like to talk about sin, do they? And yet if we don't get those two concepts right, we're blowing this whole thing called living. We're blowing it. We've got to know what the Bible teaches about that and line up our lives accordingly. 1 John 2:15, this is not popular, but it's in the Bible. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. What kingdom? This one, right? And we're not talking about the flowers, and we're not talking about little kitty cats, and we're not talking about, you know, beautiful sunsets and mountainscapes. We're not talking about that part of the world, okay? We're talking about the realm of darkness, the world system, the one that's in rebellion against truth, the one that's in rebellion against light, right? Those things of the world, and there's plenty of it. We are not to get caught up in thinking, it's fine, it's good. Verse 17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What the world likes to do is imagine, and it is complete imagining because there's no biblical truth to it. Don't you love to bake? Or you love the results of someone else's baking? Right? You know, when you bake, unless you're an expert, it's good to kind of follow a what? Recipe, exactly. You know, and it's adding this and adding that, and usually there's several stages of this, right? What is this? Yeah. You might have to get heavy equipment out to really go at whatever you're making, but yes, it's the idea of I'll take a little this, and I mix all that together, and that's my dry stuff, and then over here I got my wet stuff, and I got all that, and then eventually I got to put them together, and then I pour it into something, and I put it in the oven, and shazam, look what it looks like, and look what it smells like, and look what it tastes like. Not bad. Or, yes, this is wonderful, turned out perfect. And what the world and the devil wants us to believe is that we can take a little bit of this. And you know, we got to have a little of this, right? I mean, we're not just absolute creeps and scum. We want a little of the good stuff and God's things, right? Don't we? Yeah. I mean, we're smart, intelligent people, so... yeah, let me get a little of that, and let me get a little of that, and we'll mix it up, and it'll be okay, won't it? And there is this definite thinking that you can mix darkness and light, holiness and sin. And you cannot. They don't mix at any level, ever. I can't be over here in the realm of light and then, you know, sometime near the evening, and then before morning, the Christian life isn't this back and forth. Oh, I'm trying to be here, but somehow I just keep ending up back over here. You can't come back and forth and back and forth. You're either here, or by the grace of God, if you're over here now, that's where you always will be. Okay? And we'll get to that, Lord willing, in a few moments. How many are familiar with this little symbol? Yin yang, right? Yin yang. Are you guys working on your chi energy this morning? I hope you are, you know, because if your life's out of balance today between the yin and the yang, all kinds of catastrophes might happen to you. What is this? This is a circle, isn't it? And both things are equally represented in the circle. aren't they? Which gives you the impression, and again, it's this mindset that you can mix, you know? We can mix. We'll live in the gray areas. No. This is not biblically sound. Do you know which part is the yin and which part is the yang? Do you know? The black is the yin. The white is the yang. Do you know which is female and which is male? You're not going to like this, ladies. The black is the female and the white is the male. The black is the passive, the white is the active, right? But you notice there's a little bit of white in the black, and there's a little bit of black in the white. And you notice how one is trying to kind of like barge into the other down here, right? Who's trying to barge in to the white down here? The black. But up here, who's trying to barge into the black? You know, and it's trying to convey that there is this wonderful syncretism and balance and blending. Both of these elements are necessary in our life. And if you have mastery over your chi energy, you're benefiting from both elements. But that is not biblical. Okay? That is not biblically sound. We don't come over here and then order takeout stuff from there. All that we want and need is here. The problem is our old nature gets a little homesick for over here, doesn't it? And it calls us, it says, what are we missing? But we're not missing anything, and we just have to take that old nature craving to the Lord and say, Lord, you know I'm prone to this. I used to be doing that, and I'm thinking of this. And when I get discouraged, when I get down, when I get defeated, or sometimes when I'm really up and victorious, I'm vulnerable too, right? And Lord, you just got to help me. I don't want to be a part of that old world anymore. But it doesn't mean that you go back there, okay? That's very important for us to realize. If I want God and want what God has to offer in my life, how many want God? How many want what God has to offer to us? Okay, great. Do you think it's possible, and a lot of people do, which is false teaching again, that I can eventually go over there when I decide? I do want to go over there. I'm not a dummy. I mean, I want to go over there eventually, but not yet. I'll go when I'm good and ready, right? And I'll go on my terms. Hey, God, here I am. Let's sit down and talk about this. Now, I'm going to want to know. It's not going to be that way, is it? We don't get to come to God on our terms and on our timetable. We respond to God while we may and not delay, because He doesn't promise us another day of life. If we're living today and we're not yet ready to die, ready to face eternity, we better do something about God and about sin now while we can. We can't just say, well, I've made a reservation for the day before I die to take care of matters with God. I already got it on the calendar. Okay, how many know what specific day you're going to die? Anybody? That might come in handy, but it could be today, couldn't it? Nobody knows how many days they have left. We can't reserve to our selfish selves staying in this realm and then think, oh, yeah, I think I'm just about going to kick the bucket. I better check in heaven and, you know, no. So that's why he's saying here in verse 6, if we say, it's a hypothetical situation, okay? If we say that this is my reality, I'm in fellowship with God, but the truth of the matter is, I've never been converted. I've never been born again. I've never been saved. I'm actually still over here. No matter what I look like, no matter what I sound like to others, I can lie to others, can't I? About the truth of my spiritual life. I can lie to others. I can even lie to myself after a while. I start believing what I told other people. And I might even lie to whom? This is a progression. We lie to others and then eventually lie to ourselves, and then we lie to God, and then we lie about God. We say, sin isn't really that big a deal. God loves everybody. Jesus died for everybody. And so everybody's going to go to heaven. And we're lying. We're actually acting out a lie. That's why it says, do not the truth. We are living lies. We are misrepresenting to ourselves and others and God the truth. Do you know pretenders don't grow? This is a really neat phrase, I think. Pretenders don't grow. If you think, why am I not growing in my Christian life? Maybe it's all external. Maybe you're just really a pretender, a professor, but not a possessor. Pretenders don't grow in anything. You can pretend to be any number of things, but you don't grow and develop in that area if it's not reality. The word fellowship here, as we talked about before, it means a mutual, reciprocal sharing of what we possess in common. Okay? To be in fellowship with God means that He and I are interacting, we believe the same things, we're on the same page in everything. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be in agreement? No, it's not possible. So is it really true that you and God are in agreement about everything from the Scriptures, everything in our own life? Or are we really just pretending? The word walk there, whether it's walk in the light or walk in the darkness, is talking about present tense. You know, it means this is the habitual, ongoing, regular, consistent pattern of your life. What most represents that consistent pattern? Is it conduct and thinking and words that reflect this realm, this kingdom, or this one? If we're saying that, oh yeah, God and me are like this, we're always talking, we're always doing stuff together, but yet there's sin that's never been dealt with or sin that's being covered up in our life, that can't happen. That's trying to do this again, right? That's trying to mix darkness with light. And sin is always going to separate us from God. It's got to be dealt with. Let's look at a couple additional scriptures. How about 2 Corinthians 6, please? Second Corinthians 6, verse 14. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? In so many different ways there, he asked the question. It's illogical to think that this kingdom and this kingdom can come together with some kind of a truce and treaty and work out a way that's complementary to both sides simultaneously. That can't happen, won't happen, isn't happening. We can try to imagine that it is, but it is not. What we have to do is recognize these two are never going to mix. So, which side do I want to be on? This one or that one? My default setting, if I do nothing, then I stay in the pig pen, right? I stay in the pig pen. But if I realize, wait a minute, that's no good. That's not where I want to stay even one more day, let alone the rest of my life and on into eternity. I want to be there. But I can't come on my terms. I can't come on my timetable. I've got to come when God is calling me. He might not call me one more time after today. I better act today. I better write. Let's look at a few more scriptures that are really helpful. John chapter 3, please. John 3, verse 19. Jesus saying these words here, John 3, 19, says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." Who was the light that came into the world? Jesus. "The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Right? People over in this kingdom don't want bright lights shined over on them, right? Because bright lights are going to expose their sin. You know how you've been in a room that seemed fairly clean when it was evening and twilight and dim, but then when you turn all the lights on, you go, ah! That's why certain hotels put very small wattage bulbs in there, you know, in their fixtures. They don't want you to look around too close in those rooms, right? Have you ever been sitting in your living room and one of the rays of the sun comes right through the window? And all through that ray, what's going on? Yeah, and you're like, no way, not my pristine eat-off-the-floor house. How could there be this much dust just floating around? We're not even aware until the bright light of the sun shines on it and exposes. Think of the much more glorious and penetrating bright light of God's righteousness and holiness. If that was cast on the realm of darkness, they'd be running like rats, right? And roaches. Verse 20. "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Look at chapter 12 of John, please. This is expressing the urgency of our situation. John 12, verse 35. "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you." You mean it's not going to be here forever? Salvation's not going to be available forever? No, it isn't. "A little while is the light with you, so walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." See? We're here, children of darkness, children of wrath, children of disobedience. But we could be children of light if we will respond to the light that's being shined on us and say, "I want that, I need that, I'll take that." Look at verse 44. "Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." In other words, not just me, but God the Father too. "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." God doesn't want you to stay over here. He loves you. But his holiness can't allow him to say, "Well, just come on." No, his holiness demands that sin must be dealt with. The consequences of our sin is death. either our own or, praise be to God, a substitute was set on our behalf, the very Son of God. Right? Even if we pay for our sin with our physical death, the real death it's mainly talking about is not a physical one, because all are going to die, saved and unsaved, right? It's the spiritual death that comes after. The spiritual death is being separated from God forever, and all the things that are of God forever were separated from them. God is light, so what do you think hell is like? No light ever, right? Ever. That's just one of the bad things about hell. Everything that God is not there at all. Can we imagine wanting to end up in that place? In the next book of the Bible, Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Acts 26, 18. Jesus was talking to Paul about what he was calling him to do on that road to Damascus. And this is what Jesus said that Paul was going to be doing with the rest of his life. You're going to open, verse 18, you're going to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan, you see, unto the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Isn't that great? Look at Romans 3, please. This whole teaching that basically man is good. You know, you've heard about the brotherhood of man. Why don't we have a wonderful brotherhood of man? Why are we still stabbing each other, shooting each other, punching each other, robbing each other, raping each other, murdering each other, shooting missiles at each other? What happened to the brotherhood of man? Well, you can't have a brotherhood of man unless you have a fatherhood of the Heavenly Father, right? If we're not all transformed by the Heavenly Father, then we don't have a nature that wants to do anything but those things I just said. But if we have been born again into the family of God, if He's our Heavenly Father, isn't it amazing how much fellowship we can have one another? There truly is a brotherhood amongst us, right? And you can go anywhere in the world and meet another believer for the very first time. And even when you can't speak their language and you're both looking at each other kind of awkwardly, still there's this little bit of bond that you have, this brotherhood in God together, right? But that doesn't exist in this world. It only exists in this world, over here, this kingdom. Romans 3 makes it very clear that there isn't any righteous people. Look at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Comparing Jews and Gentiles? No. No one is better than the other. As it is written, verse 10, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. All are gone out of the way. All together have become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So it's just a lie against God to say man is born basically good, and if people will just let him alone, they'll live their whole life basically good and die and go to heaven. Complete lie. Complete lie. Leave a child to their own devices, and how long does it take for them to come up with activities that you don't like? With no big brothers, no neighborhood kids telling them, they'll come up with plenty all on their own. Why? Because they have a sin nature. They're born in this realm. And they're doing the dictates of their father. Not the father of lights, that's over here, James 1:17. The father of lies, who has been a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44, right? Two more passages. I'm trying to fly, but you know, some of this is so necessary. Ephesians 5, please. So necessary for us to get exposed to and be reminded of. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. That's how we started. But now are ye light. You see, you got saved. You're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There was a teaching called antinomianism in this first century that John was trying to deal with. There was people in the church and coming out of the church saying, you know what, sin is not really a big deal because you sin with your body, right? Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your fists, your feet. That's all part of your body. And the body is material. It's not spiritual. So as long as your spirit knows God and loves God, you're good to go. Your body, which is material, isn't going to last anyway. It can do whatever. It doesn't really matter. There were people teaching that and trying to convince themselves, yeah, that makes sense. And that's why he said in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with God, but still continue with our bodies to do all these things from this realm, we're lying to others, lying to ourselves, eventually lying to God, and misrepresenting God to others by saying, it only matters what you believe in your inner spirit. As long as that part of you has gotten saved, the rest of you can do whatever it wants. No way. That's not what that list we just read said. He's saying, now that we have come to the light, our conduct needs to reflect righteousness. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but we are repudiating the way we used to live. We're resisting the desire to be like that anymore. From time to time we fail, yes, but for the most part, we are trying to let our actions, our thoughts, our words, our deeds reflect the righteousness that God has now imputed to us through salvation. Let's look at one more, the next two books to the right, book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we'll be done. Colossians 1, starting in verse 10. Speaking to the Christian now, speaking to the believers that are at this church in the city of Colossae, he's saying, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, you that have been saved, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How did he make it possible for us to be partakers of this kingdom when we were over there? The next verse tells us. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So it wasn't something I decided I wanted and I did for myself on my own terms, on my own timetable, going from here to there. No. It's when I heard that God loved me, but because of my sin, I was separated from His holiness. But someone has been sent to deal with my sin. And if I will allow Christ to be my Savior, my sins can be pardoned. My sin can be forgiven. And I can be delivered from this kingdom into this one. And once that has taken place, that's where I'll always be. There is no going back and forth, and there is no mixing, okay? There is no mixing. We say, Pastor, I know since I've gotten saved, I've sinned. So aren't I back here? No, you're not back here, okay? You are still here. Is God going to help you deal with that sin? Yes, He will. There's a provision for that. But you are not going back and forth and back and forth. And you're not in this gray area in the middle. Praise the Lord. When you acknowledged you were a hopeless, helpless, hell-bound sinner, and you called out to the Savior for forgiveness and pardon and salvation, eternal life, not temporary life, temporary eternal life, eternal life was given you as a gift. You were translated forevermore out of that kingdom in here. And now when sin crops up in your life because you still have that old nature, there's still a remedy for that, but it doesn't throw you back over there, okay? That's very important. Because a lot of people are confused. They never get solid because maybe they're pretending or because they're trying to mix and it can't be mixed or because they're imagining when I sin, I'm back here and I just can't stay good long enough. And what if I die in my sleep before I got back over there? And they live in that uncertainty. Certainly wouldn't be singing Blessed Assurance, would they? If that's how they felt. Maybe that's where you might be this morning. You say, Pastor, that's helping me. I'm kind of seeing where I'm at, and now I think I know what I need to do about it. Wonderful. Wonderful. Let's do it. And if I can be of any further help and explanation, it would be my joy and privilege to do so. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this is such important information that needed to be clarified. Lord, I pray that each one of us would come under the influence of it now and see where we stand before a holy God. What, if anything, have we ever done with our sin? On what basis are we anticipating eternity? And Lord, I just pray that you would help each and every one of us move in a positive direction towards you, towards truth, towards light, that will put us on solid biblical theological ground instead of this mysterious, nebulous uncertainty, Lord, the devil would like us to live in. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, Christ Receives Sinful Men. Aren't you glad about that? There's no other kind. 532. Let's stand together. Christ receiveth sinful men.